Good morning. We are beginning to fill back out a little bit as some of the holes get replaced, as people come back in, and those that have been sick are able to be back out with us. We're thankful for that, and we are especially thankful for those of you who are visiting with us. We appreciate very much you coming out and being with us as we study from the Word of God, as we strive to learn from His Word and learn how we can be better as His children, how we can be more pleasing in His sight. Appreciate the singing that we've had this morning. You know, nothing really to me gets things going better than some good songs that that we can sing truly from our heart. And I kind of wonder sometimes if we really are singing from the heart, or if we're just singing from the, okay, this is this section, and it's time to get this section of the worship done, and then after we get done with that section, there's another section, and then we can get through with that, and then, well, we listen to that fellow up there talk for about 30 minutes, and then we get to sing another song real quick, and we can go home. I wonder if that hasn't become the way that we worship God. And of course, when you look back through the worship that Israel offered, that was their worship. It was just through form. It was just something they did, something that was required of them, something that they accomplished, and then they went back to their everyday lives. And we need to make sure that we're not that way in our own. You know, as we sing that song, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah, you really think about what you're saying, how you're singing that. As we sing the song Alleluia, that's just another spelling of the word Hallelujah. They both mean praise to God, glory to God. And really, isn't that the way our life should be? Something that is showing praise and glory to God. Something that's more than just a form. Something that's more than just words that we say. Something that's more than just something we do on Sundays. Our lives should be something that is given to the Lord in praise to Him. Our lives should be a constant reference of Hallelujah, praise God, glory to God in the highest. These are the Psalms that we read in the book of Psalms. You read so many of those. And of course, number two is just, was Psalm 148, I believe, just taken and put to a modern form of music. Think about that. Because when you think of devotion, and that's what we're singing our devotion to God. When you think of devotion, can we really say that we in our lives today, we as individuals in the way that we live, can you honestly say that we are devoted to God? You know, today is the 4th of July, and of course, July 2nd was when they began signing the Declaration of Independence. It continued on, and July the 4th was declared as Independence Day, when we had declared our independence from the nation of England, and the Revolutionary War began, and there's many lives that have been lost throughout the year, specifically in the Revolutionary War, and then the War of 1812, and all these other wars that have continued on to keep us independent, to continue to give us the freedoms that we have in the land that we live, to come together and to worship without fear of oppression from a tyrannical government. One phrase that I learned from my father, and I finally found out where it came from, it was a typing exercise that was begun in the mid-1800s, there when typing just really began to take off, says, now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. If you learned how to type on a typewriter, you probably learned that phrase. And when I say typewriter, some of you younger ones are like, what? If you don't know what a typewriter is, just come to my house. I've got a really nice one that Brother Norman gave me, and then another one sitting there in the living room. Then I've got another one that downstairs, just old-fashioned manual typewriters. And that's the way many. Now is the time for all good men to come to the aid of their country. Mr. John F. Kennedy, in one of his famous speeches, said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. Each of these was something for us to think about, and to realize that we need to be doing more in our service to the country. That we need to be doing more in helping our country remain the great nation that it is. And they're great phrases, they have great meaning, and they're great for us to think about. But I think it's time for us to begin to focus a little more on our spiritual lives.
Amen.
We love our country. We have, especially on days like today, great
patriotism for our country. Flags go up. We wear American flags and on our shirts and clothing, and we sing patriotic songs, or we listen to patriotic music, or we go down and we watch fireworks and listen to the patriotic music, or most often we gather together, grill up some hot dogs and hamburgers, and just go out to the river and do all these different things and don't even think at all about the country that we live in. And you know, isn't that the same way that our memorial that we offer to God has become just something we do? That our service to God has become just a form? And that we have our lives and we live our lives the way we want to live them, and then if we have something left over, well, I'll give that to God. And I'm afraid that we, like the Israelites, are offering that to God, which He found displeasing in that point in time. And before we really get into the lesson, I want us to look at the Scripture reading again. There in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus presented the parable of the sower. And if you notice there, about halfway through the reading, after He's given that parable, the disciples came up to Jesus and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables? And did you listen to what Jesus said there? He said to you, that is the disciples, it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." Go on down, He says, because in verse 13, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." And He goes back and refers to Isaiah, who said almost the same thing. "You will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull with their ears. They scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them." Before we begin the lesson, I ask you to open your eyes. To unclog your ears, get the spiritual Q-tips, and clean out your ears so you can listen to what the message of God has to say to you. Let it sink into your heart. Be that good ground that is ready to receive the Word of God, that not only receives it, but bears fruit 100-fold, 60, and 30. It is time for us to quit being like the nation of Israel, dull of hearing, dull of sight, and we hear the gospel message, "Yeah, that sounds good." And we see what the Bible says, "Yeah, that's interesting." But we don't put it into practice. It is time for us to be healed of our spiritual infirmities. It's time. It is past time for us to turn ourselves once again to God and to give God everything that He asks of us. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Malachi. There, it's just a few pages before Matthew there, depending on how your Bible's set up. Malachi chapter 1. In Malachi chapter 1, we read there, "The oracle of the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. I have loved you, says the Lord, but you say, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, declares the Lord, yet I have loved Jacob. But I have hated Esau, and I have made his mountains a desolation, and appointed his inheritance for the jackals of the wilderness. Though Edom says we have been beaten down, but we will return and build up the ruins. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they may build, but I will tear down, and men will call them the wicked territory, and the people toward whom the Lord is indignant forever. Your eyes will see this, and you will say, the Lord be magnified beyond the border of Israel. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then if I am a father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my respect? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? You are presenting defiled food upon my altar. But you say, how have we defiled you? In that you say the table of the Lord is to be despised. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and sick, is it not evil? Why not offer it to your governor? Would he be pleased with you, or would he receive you kindly? Says the Lord of hosts. But now will you not entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will he receive any of you kindly? Says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates, that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts. nor will I accept an offering from you. For from the rising of the sun even to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense is going to be offered to my name, and a grain offering that is pure, for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you are profaning it in that you say the table of the Lord is defiled, and as for its fruit, its food is to be despised. You also say, my, how tiresome it is. And you disdainfully sniff at it, says the Lord of hosts. And you bring what was taken by robbery and what is lame or sick. So you bring the offering. Should I receive that from your hand, says the Lord? But cursed be the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. For I am a great king and my name is feared among the nations. Israel has been through a lot by the time that Malachi is writing this. You've gone through the period of Joshua, the period of the judges, the period of the United Kingdom under Saul, David, and Solomon. You've gone through all of the divided kingdom from Rehoboam down to the Babylonians coming in and conquering them. During the days of Malachi, the Medes and the Persians have come and conquered the Babylonian Empire and have allowed the Israelites to go back. The Israelites are back in the land. They have been restored to that which had been promised to them because they cried out to God. And they were giving service to God. They were offering the sacrifices. They were burning the incense. They were doing everything that God had asked them to do after a manner. But God was not happy. God had done so much for this people, and yet they did so little in return for Him. They were giving Him that which they didn't have any use for. Did you catch that last verse there? Malachi chapter 1, curse the swindler who has a male in his flock and vows it, but sacrifices a blemished animal to the Lord. They were saying, well, this is the one I've set aside. Look, see how pretty it is? No blemish. It's a wonderful male goat. And in the back of their mind, they're going, man, I could get some good little kids out of that. If I let it breed with the rest of my goats, I'd really make my flock more healthy. So I'll go get this diseased one and I'll offer that to the Lord. Now think about that and go back to number 2 in your psalm book. Hallelujah! Praise Jehovah. From the heavens, praise His name. Praise Jehovah in the highest. All His angels, praise proclaim. All His hosts together, praise Him. Sun and moon and stars on high, praise Him, O ye heavens and ye floods. You heaven of heavens and ye floods above the sky. Look at verse 3. All ye fruitful trees and cedars, all ye hills and mountains high, creeping things and beasts and cattle, birds that in the heavens fly, kings of earth, and all ye people, princes, great earth's judges all, praise His name, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Everybody here sing that? You sang, praise be to God. All glory and honor belongs to You. You said, Lord, here's this perfect male goat that I'm going to set aside to offer to You. Now you stop and think about your life for just a moment. How you live that life, how your life is focused on so many of the pursuits of this world. And how we let that take up so much of our time and realize that what we're giving to God is that blemished animal. Well, I didn't have to work today. Nothing really good coming on television this morning. I really can't find anything else that I need to be doing or that I want to be doing right now. I'll give this time to God. Do you understand the offerings that we're giving? It's amazing when you look in the New Testament and you see how with the first century Christians that they were ready to help in any time of trouble. Willing to sell possessions. Go there in Acts chapter 4. And you read there that there was difficulties, that there were those that were without, those that were in need, and those who had possessions went and sold those possessions and laid it at the feet of the apostles, and it was given amongst those who needed help. Acts chapter 6, the local church in Jerusalem was doing so much that there were some, and they had so many that were in need, there were some that were being neglected. And the apostle said, you appoint seven men, you choose seven men that we can appoint to this task so that everyone's taken care of. You read throughout the first century. You read in the epistles of the apostle Paul as he's writing there to the church in Corinth. He writes about the churches in Macedonia, how they're giving above and beyond what they're able. Paul was able to know through Holy Spirit inspiration, this was more than they needed to be giving. This was beyond what they should be giving. But they wanted to take part in helping the needy Jews in Jerusalem. And he encouraged the church in Corinth, you go ahead and be working on this collection so that I'm not going to be embarrassed, nor you, when I show up with these Macedonians after talking about how excited you guys are about this collection. That's Christianity. That's true people of God. Sacrificing their own lives, sacrificing their own wants, their own desires for the work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now think about that which is most precious to us. Something that we spend every day, and there is absolutely, positively, I don't care what science says, there is no way that you can reclaim it. It is not a renewable source at all. Time. Once that time is gone, you don't get it back. There's no nice DeLorean that you can drive 88 miles per hour with the right amount of gigawatt of power at 1.21 gigawatts and boom, go back in time and change things. You can't do that. It just doesn't work. There's no neat little machine that you can pull certain levers and go back and view different periods of time in history. It just doesn't work that way. Time, once it is spent, can never be reclaimed. You can make more money. You can spend your money and waste it. And you can go out and work and you can get more. And you can work overtime and you can get a little extra money. Well, it's hard for us to think of it as extra money because there's always extra bills that need to be paid. There's always something else. But time is something that we all have an equal amount of. And we all, in all honesty, equally waste it, don't we? Stop and think for just a moment. The time that you give to your job, if you're lucky, you get at least 40 hours. 30, 40 hours. You look at the economy today and the number of jobs, you're lucky if you've got a job to where you can go and put in any amount of time. You're fortunate. 40 hours. Think of the amount of time you spend sleeping. If you're fortunate, you get 8 hours of sleep a night. Many go on 6 or 7. Find that your day is quickly passing, isn't it? The time that you have is going. You got to relax. You got to have some fun. All work and no play makes Tim a dull boy. You got to have fun. Favorite television shows? Hour. Missed last week's episode, so we got to watch that one on the internet. 2 hours. Maybe you have more than one show that you like. Or maybe it's magazines that you like to read. Look through. Maybe it's games you like to play on the internet or games that you like to play with the kids. There's a number of things, isn't it? It doesn't take long and our time is spent. Our time is gone. And then you pause and you think for just a moment, out of the week, how much time do you give to God? How much time during the week do you spend praying to God? Well, if we're all good little Christians and we pray to God when we wake up, and it's pretty much, God, thank you for letting me be alive. We'll say 5 minutes. That's probably on the large side. When we pray before a meal, that's, what, 30 seconds? Thank you for this food. That's 3 meals. When we pray before we go to bed at night. Let's be generous, 10 minutes. It's not even half an hour, is it? We read our Bibles daily, don't we? All of us. We all read our Bibles daily. Right? I read a chapter,
that the way most people do? I try to get at least a chapter in. Do you realize how long it takes to read a chapter? You know, you can read the book of Mark, the entire book of Mark, in 30 minutes. And that's not reading fast. That's taking your time and reading the book of Mark. Most people can generally read the book of Mark, all 16 chapters, in 30 minutes. So let's go 30 minutes. 1 hour is what we've got in reading and praying. Now, how many of us do those things? But I go to church on Sunday. Okay, there you got 2 more hours. That's 3. And you do all those things every day. So you got an additional 5 because we all take Saturday off, right? Well, I still pray before the meals. All right, so that's an extra 15 minutes. Do you see where I'm going with this? I could drag it on out. We could pull up the blackboard here and I could make Quentin squirm a little bit by writing on the blackboard. You know, you get the idea. How much time do we give to the Lord? We'll give Him what's left. When I find the time, isn't that our attitude? Time is something that we must sacrifice to God. Time is our most precious possession that we have to give to God. And isn't all of our time a gift from God? You know, we talk about the contribution. We're going to talk about it a little bit tonight as we look at some more ways that we give God the leftovers. But time is... we've got more time than we do anything else, don't we? We always run out of money before we run out of time, don't we? You go on vacation, you got a week's vacation planned. The money runs out on day 3 and you're like, well, I'm glad we packed enough food for the rest of the vacation. We're going to be sitting inside for the rest of the vacation. Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians, there Paul is writing a letter in response to his first letter and some of the things that has been told him and his concern. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, there in verse 14, he says, "Here for this third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be a burden to you. For I do not seek what is yours but you. For children are not responsible to save up for their parents, but parents for their children." Look at what he says in verse 15. "I will most gladly spend and be expended for your souls. If I love you more, am I to be loved less?" Look at the attitude the Apostle Paul had. Did the church in Corinth have a favorable opinion of the Apostle Paul? No. There were those that were working steadily against Paul. In fact, 2 Corinthians is writing, defending his apostleship, saying, "I am an apostle of Jesus Christ. These are the proofs that I'm an apostle. That I'm suffering these things because I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ. And I'm suffering more than anyone else around me. Not because I'm some wonderful thing, but because that's what I'm giving to the Lord." You go back and you can see there that the Apostle Paul had given up much in his service to God. And here he is, he's writing, he says, "I'm willing to be spent, completely and totally spent on your behalf." What kind of an attitude do you have in the local church? Now just pause for just a moment and think about that. We have a list to mow the yard. How many sign up on the list? Now I understand there are some of the men here that they better not be out on that hillside, is my opinion. That's the last place in the world they need to be. There's no expectation of that. But I see the same names oftentimes repeated on that list. When it comes time to teach classes, do we have the same individuals teaching the same classes over and over? Men, women, over and over, they're teaching those classes because no one else is stepping in. No one else has the time. No one else is willing to take the time, to devote the time. And I don't care which class you're teaching, it takes time. Whether it's the little kids, that takes a lot of time. Or the slightly older kids, that takes just as much time. Or the next group, well, you got to put a little bit more effort into it because sometimes they can have some pretty good questions. And in the high school class, well, sometimes it's just a challenge just to get them involved. In the auditorium class,
Well, it's the high school class, just a few more people. It's oftentimes a challenge to get people involved. Why? Because so few take the time, so few devote the time that they need. They spend their time on all these other exploits, on learning all these things of the world, and they don't take the time, they don't devote the time. Sometimes, in local congregations, those few that are doing all the work get tired of being the only cheerleaders. They grow weary. Elijah. I've been studying about Elijah. How did Elijah feel? I'm the only one who cares. I'm the only one who's serving You, Lord. I'm the only one devoting myself to You. God reminds him, no, you're not alone. There's others. 700 that have not bowed to the feet of Baal. But Elijah needed some encouragement. Are you encouraging or discouraging by the amount of time that you give? Our time that we have to give to the Lord is precious. And I believe if we all look into our lives, we can see that there is much more that we can do. It may be that we have to sacrifice certain things that we'd like to do. Look with me, if you would, in Matthew chapter 8. Here it seems the Lord is asking a little too much. In Matthew chapter 8, let's look there, beginning in verse 21. Just pause and think on this for just a moment. Matthew chapter 8, there, beginning in verse 21, another of the disciples said to him, Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and allow the dead to bury their own dead. My mother's mother was the first of my grandparents to pass away. And her viewing was to be on a Wednesday. My grandfather set an example that I hope I can live up to all my days. The viewing ran till 6 o'clock. And at 6 o'clock, the people who ran the funeral home said the doors are going to be locked. Everyone must leave. You're all encouraged to go up the road to Southern Boulevard for a period of singing. And the doors will be reopened at 8:30. I very much appreciated my grandfather at that point in time for the example that he said. This was his wife of over 50 years. A time when grieving for your loved one is the expected, isn't it? He just lost his girlfriend. That's what we grandsons were the pallbearers. We carried her out. He walked there right beside us. There goes my girlfriend. That was another great example. 50 years. She's not his wife. She's his girlfriend. Still that love and that compassion. But you see, that which was most important in his life, the dead, they can wait. The time that we have set aside to serve the Lord is now. These other things, these pursuits of the world, they can be set aside. They are of no importance. They are not going to help us further down the road. Nothing in this world is of greater importance than serving God.
Amen.
And yet, what example do we set? Little Johnny, little Susie? They're running behind at school. Teacher assigned them this huge thing to do, and they've only got Wednesday night to get it done. And y'all can stay home. And we're going to stay home and we're going to help you finish it so you can turn it in and you can make a good grade. You know what my father would have said? What my father did say? That's an F you can take. That's an F I'll allow. And he did not allow F's. Trust me, my backside will tell you. My father did not allow F's. Any kind of conflict with the school and church, I knew. Don't even ask Dad. Just tell the teacher, I can't go. Dad would have preferred I say, I won't go, but I didn't quite understand that at the tender age of 12, 13, 14, and 15. But I knew that was going to be the response. You don't do anything when it comes time for Wednesday night Bible study. Sunday night, worship services. Sunday morning worship services. Time is our most precious gift. And yet for many of us, we're doing with the Lord in our time the same thing that we do with our checkbooks or our bank accounts or our wallets. Sunday rolls along. Time for the contribution. Let's see, I've got to pay this, 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 and this. I wanted to go do this and this. Well, there's a quarter. Well, I'm putting something in the plate. There's a dollar. We give the Lord that which is left over. And we do the same thing with our time. Lord, if I can't find something else to do, I'll be at church. My dad's mom, when we lived in Florence, when I lived in Florence, attended church with her, and she had she said, if you can't find anywhere better to eat, you can always come to my house. Now, y'all stop and think of your own grandmothers. And you ask yourself, is there a restaurant that cooks better than your own grandmother? Now, some of you may have had grandmothers that weren't good cooks. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you, there's a number of preachers that would sing the praises of my grandmother's table. It's one of the reasons I have that table downstairs in my office, because it has special memories. I've eaten a lot of good, really good meals at that table, because there were no better offers. It would have taken a very beautiful woman saying, I want to go out to eat, for me to say, my grandmother's cooking. You want to go there? But we get better offers than the Lord, don't we? Don't we? Let's pause and think about it for a moment. Have you ever missed a Sunday service? Not because you were sick. Have you ever missed a Sunday service? Sunday morning, Sunday night. Either one. Do you realize what you said to the Lord when you went and you took part in that activity? When you went and you did these things of your own choice, it wasn't that you didn't have a choice. You chose to do these things. You said, God, I don't have enough time for you. I've got something else that's more important in my life. And yet we sing songs such as Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. But when it comes to our time, well, we give Him the leftovers. Is that what you're offering to God?
It's a plain fact that we treat the Lord that way in the use of our time. Like the Jews of old, like Malachi there, chapter 1 and verse 8, we offer the lame, the sick, the blind, that which we would not offer to anyone else, we offer that to God. If the Lord needs an hour or two out of the week, all right, I can do that. I can attend Sunday morning worship, Bible study, that's pushing it. And I'll make it a Wednesday night Bible study, but singing, well, that's just singing. That's just singing songs of praise to God. That's the phrase we should use. It's not that it's just singing, but it's an opportunity to have a taste of heaven. Singing songs of praise to God. Next time you're finding something else to do on Wednesday night, you stop. It's the last Wednesday night of the month and you go, I'm going to do this rather than sing praise to God. The next time you're going to sleep in on Sunday morning because you stayed up too late on Saturday night, you think on Saturday, I'm going to do this rather than study the Word of God with my brothers and sisters in Christ. The next time you have something to do on a Sunday night that just seems so wonderful, you stop and you say, I choose to do this rather than offer up praise and worship to the Creator of this world. Will you do that for me?
Will you pause and think about these things? But we're not required to worship Sunday night. No? Okay. We are required to come together on the first day of the week and to partake of the Lord's Supper. Well, I did that already. My worship to God is done. And now you offered up lame, blind, sick worship. You offered up something because you had to. You put something in that collection plate just because you didn't want anybody to look at you funny. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we must think about these things. The next time you allow brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so to continue to teach the class that they've been teaching for X number of months or X number of years in many cases, you go, I'd rather sit at home and watch that favorite TV show of mine than to devote time throughout the week to prepare myself to teach a Bible class. The next time you go year after year after year allowing the same men to teach the auditorium Bible class because you are not Christian enough, because you are not knowledgeable enough, because I'm not smart enough as a child of God, even though I've been a Christian for 20, 30 years, because I don't have enough biblical wisdom to teach a Bible class, then you say, Lord, I don't have enough time for you. Folks, go back to Matthew chapter 13, if you would, as we close out our lesson this morning. Once again, there in Matthew chapter 13, verse 14, in their case, and I believe we can apply the same today, in our case, the prophecy of Isaiah is being fulfilled, which says, you will keep on hearing, but will not understand. You will keep on seeing, but will not perceive. For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them. Is your service to God that which it should be? Have you been giving God the time that you can't find anything else to do with? Have you been giving to God the service that you think is just enough that your brothers and sisters in Christ won't think too poorly of you? Have you continually sat in the pews, mumbled your way through the songs, missed service after service after service for little or no reason? It is time to return to God and be able to truly sing hallelujah, praise Jehovah. My life is in service to you. But perhaps you're here, you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you've reached an age and time where you understand that Jesus Christ came to this earth, lived a perfect life so that He could be the perfect sacrifice, so that He could die for my sins. Say that. My sins. Not someone else's sins. Your sins. If you realize that Jesus gave His life for you, if you understand God's plan for you is to repent of your sins, confess your belief that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and be buried in that watery grave of baptism. If you haven't done that yet, then you are selfish. It's my time, God. You can't have it yet. I still got some things I want to do. I still have some ways in this life I want to live. When I find a more convenient time, I'll call on You, Lord. I watched a video recently of a number of individuals who thought they had all the time in the world. And it was nothing but a car crash after car crash after car crash after car crash. I'm sure Ken could get us some statistics from this area. The number of car crashes that take place, the number of lives that are lost. A good friend of ours almost lost her son. He's just old enough to drive. She posted just yesterday that her son's car blew up along with everything in it on the side of the interstate. Later found out there were 3 explosions just right. It was like a Chips episode. You get away from the car and then boom, boom, boom. Some of the kids are going, potato chips? He almost lost his life. many times have, and when I watch that video of all those car crashes, I think, there's a lot of times I should have died. God protected me. God waited. God was long-suffering. Just like with the nation of Israel, the time for His long-suffering can come to an end in just a moment. Your time to give your service to God is now. If you've not obeyed the gospel, if you believe in Jesus Christ, now is the time. Perhaps you're here, you've obeyed the gospel, but you need to return. Then right now is the time. Come and serve the Lord as we stand and as we sing.